Halle, halleluja, halle, halleluja, 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 halleluja.
I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Prepare. You think of a time when you prepared for a particularly important journey. How did you prepare? Did you prepare by what you packed? It's often how we prepare when we go to travel. It's how I certainly prepared and was taught to prepare in scouting as I was growing up. And we'd go on our campouts. We'd get these checklists that you'd find in your Boy Scout handbook that you could open up and lay out all of the 10 essentials that you needed and then everything else. And I would lay everything out and check off on my checklist, making sure that I had everything in my pack. Now, as we were do other trips that involved carrying everything that we had on our backs, that preparation started to get more important, because now I couldn't just throw everything in and trust that I would have everything. I had to be careful about what I prepared, because I knew that I was carrying everything on my back. The same was true when I went on a trip about 12 years ago. Around the North Island of New Zealand on a bicycle with my best friend. And I think of this trip every time this season of Advent comes, because it was a trip that we took during this time, spending Christmas and New Year's traveling on a bike tour around New Zealand, with everything that we had packed into the panniers on our front tires and our back tires. And I had to pack for all of this, both to meet the weight limit for my luggage on the plane, and then to realize that I'm going to be biking around the entire island of this country with this weight on my bicycle, and going up hills and down hills and long stretches. And so it became really important to be careful about what I packed. And then we laid out everything, making a big checklist like I had in Scouts, and checked things off. Clothes, sleeping bag, toothbrush, journal, bike inner tubes, thinking that we'd have as much as we could. Now, on Christmas Day that year, I realized that I hadn't quite packed enough. We were riding in a particularly hot part of the country on a particularly hot and cloudless day, and the heat from the road was making its way into my bike tire, forming a bubble in the inner tube. And that bubble soon exploded, not only ruining the tube inside the bike tire, but the entire tire itself, and I had not packed one of those. Our journey that day was halted by what I had not prepared, by what I had left behind. When Mary and Joseph get the word that they have to travel to Bethlehem for the census, Mary has already been preparing to bring new life into the world. An angel has come and spoken to her. Joseph has had an angel visit as well, coming and giving him special instructions. None of those instructions involved making this trip to Bethlehem. This was something else that was going on, just something going on in the world that they were falling in line to. The angels hadn't mentioned this part, hadn't given them any instructions for what to take on the journey. And yet they made the journey nonetheless. And the journey was a journey ordained by God. It would fulfill the prophecy that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. But as they travel to Bethlehem, one of the things that I don't think we think about a lot is what they brought with them. They're not just going down for a family visit, after all. We know from the scriptures that Mary and Joseph are still in Bethlehem a couple years later as Jesus is becoming a toddler, and the Magi are coming to visit, and Herod is consulting with them and talking about when did this star form and when was this child born, and naming now his vengeance against all children 2 years and younger. We know that Jesus lived in Bethlehem for the first couple years of his life, and that as Mary and Joseph are traveling down to Bethlehem, they're traveling with their entire lives along with them. They're moving to Bethlehem. They're uprooting themselves and heading back to the family home to give birth, hopefully among the support of family. Now, what they don't plan on, and we realize this in the story, is where exactly will all this take place? Where will their new lives be? Where will their shelter be? They don't pack a shelter with them, and there's not one for them when they arrive. That way of preparation, what they could prepare and what they were unable to prepare, would mark the birth of Christ and change how Christ's birth would come. And in that humble way, in their inability to prepare as we might prepare, as honestly I'm preparing for the birth of our next child, getting the room ready, getting all the clothing and the toys ready, all those things that we do to prepare for the birth of a child that Mary and Joseph are now unable to because they're moving across the country at the same time. That this lack of preparation, this vulnerability, this openness was actually part of God's preparation for them. Jesus, in our gospel today, is preparing his disciples, preparing them for what's going to come next, preparing them for his death that is about to come, preparing them for the way that their lives are going to be shaken, that this person who has become the center of their group, the center of their lives, the one with whom they have left everything to follow, will now suddenly be taken from them and killed. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. And for them who believe, Jesus is that power. Jesus is also preparing them for what will come next down the line, preparing them for the ways that this destruction will continue to reverberate. The power of empire will continue to knock down the people, preparing them perhaps for the destruction of the temple itself, which will be destroyed about 40 years after Jesus' death, and preparing his disciples for what comes next after that, preparing them for the inevitable coming of Christ again. And this morning, as these words come to us, Jesus' words are for us too, preparing us here in this new year of this church for this annual preparation. As we head towards our new calendar year and celebrate the new year in our faith, we are given an opportunity each year to look back at what was behind us and to make a change, to make a resolution sometimes, to prepare to live a little bit differently, to live life a little bit more fully, maybe a little bit more wholly or healthfully, as our annual resolutions sometimes go. Maybe to live a little bit more faithfully, to recommit ourselves to the following of Jesus in this time as we look ahead to the celebration of Christ's coming, to remember love a little bit more clearly as we prepare for God coming among us. But in our preparations, in the things that we're able to do and the things that we're not able to do, the things that we bring and the things that we leave behind, God is also at work. God is also at work preparing you, preparing us. The prayer of Paul in the letter to the Thessalonians, some of the first written words of the New Testament, speak this. Now the Lord make you increase and abound in love. Paul's prayer goes, abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. Paul is praying this prayer that God would be at work among those who hear these words, and as hearers of these words now, and those who trust in the power of prayer, and those who trust that God indeed does answer prayer, that if we hear these words for us this morning, then we hear that God is at work in us, preparing in us love, increasing our love, abounding the love that is in us for one another and for all. This is the prayer of Paul, and this is the prayer that the Scriptures speak for us today. God is preparing you in a new way right now, this minute, in this hearing. As these holy scriptural words come out to you, they are a blessing of God's work in you. And as you hear them. Trust that God is indeed doing this preparation work in your hearts and preparing you to love in a deeper and more clear way. God is preparing you, and God is preparing for you. I mentioned on that bike trip that my tire exploded that Christmas day. Me and my friend Shad were sitting on the side of the road in the hot sun on a lonely stretch of highway out in a very empty part of the country. And nobody was traveling around. It was Christmas morning. Everybody had already gone where they were going. There were no cars coming to help. So we waited, and we waited, and we waited. So finally a car came by and it stopped. It was full, so they couldn't offer us a ride, but they did drive down and stop at the next house down the road, which was off in the distance a ways. And after that car stopped there, what we saw in return was what God had been preparing for us in that moment. Preparing over that nearly hour of time that we had spent just baking on the hot side of the road, had prepared for us in making me not choose to bring a spare tire to fix that problem, prepared for us in making us be vulnerable that day. But the house poured out people, kids on bicycles, a couple carloads full of people, the Maori people, the native people of that land. And they came out to us, sort of swarmed us on the street, telling us that they had seen us sitting there on the side of the road and wondered what we were doing for the last hour. And they had been thinking, I wonder if we should go down and help them out. Thinking that as they enjoyed their Christmas dinner and looked out, and yeah, there's travelers are still out there. And now, connected by another traveler, we connected to them. We got to meet the West family. We were introduced to every single member, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, everybody. One of the uncles immediately went off to find a replacement tire for my bike from the city junkyard. And then there was a mom and an aunt that teamed together to make sure that we had shade and cold water and juice to drink. And then they set out a table when they found out that we hadn't had a proper lunch yet. A table out in the shade of their yard, and they brought out every item from their Christmas feast. A roast ham, fresh fruit, potatoes, seafood, salads, cream buns, fresh bread, shepherd's pie. To hungry and weary, sun-baked travelers, it was a little taste of heaven. We got the tire fixed. We got lunch. We got stories to share. And we got a ride up the mountain that we would have had to bike up. God had prepared a gift for us that Christmas day in the hearts of those people. And I thank God every year for that as I remember that memory. God is also preparing Mary and Joseph on their journey. When they will come to Bethlehem unprepared, perhaps without proper shelter for their child. But God has a place, a humble place, a prophetic place, just for the child to be born. It's in that openness and that vulnerability that there is something to be learned. When we are vulnerable and open in our own hearts, sometimes that's the preparation that God is doing in us. Entering into a student's mind, learning from our experiences in the world, not assuming that we already know it all. Maya Angelou once said, "Do the best you can until you know better. And when you know better, do better." In our psalm this morning, there's a connection between learning and between forgiveness. As we learn from the ways of God, we learn what we've not done so well. As we look back on the lessons of this last year, perhaps you can see places where you've fallen, ways that you haven't quite lived up to the promise of the love that God has in store for you, ways that your life might yet be more shaped according to God's dream for you. As you look back on that in a moment of reflection, there is a promise that that way of being can be left behind, and that the lessons that you learn from God might lead you into greater love and faithfulness yet. The psalm says that the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. And as we walk the path of Christ, we walk into deeper and deeper love and faithfulness ourselves. A way of being vulnerable without fear, but with divine purpose. Joseph and Mary are vulnerable in their journey to Bethlehem, but they go with purpose. They go having spoken to the angels of God, knowing that this child that they are bearing is important beyond compare. And even though they don't have a shelter for him, they go trusting in God. Trusting in God that God will provide a way. Trusting in the purpose that God has given to them. And this is the same trust that Jesus invites his disciples into this morning, that invites us into this morning. That in the times when everything seems to be shaken, when the heavens shake and the stars fall, when the world seems to roar and gnash and beat upon us, times of great trial, raise your head, Jesus says. Trust in the power of God for you. Stand up, raise your heads, and trust your redemption is drawing near. Be okay being vulnerable. Be okay with not having it all figured out. Be okay with the open-endedness of life. And trust in the divine purpose that God has for you. This work is the work of letting go. Letting go of fear. Letting go of the mental constraints that we put on ourselves about what we can and can't do. Letting go of our simple and secret affections for luxuries. Letting go of lives lived within the boundaries of what society calls normal. Letting go of stress. Letting go of the requirements to live up to what the world expects, and instead to be formed and shaped by the love that God dreams for you. And as we let go in this Advent season, as we prepare by leaving some things behind, becoming just a little more open and vulnerable in our lives, we can count on God and the earth and our relationships with others to catch us, to care for us, and to show us the way into deeper and deeper love. Amen.
In the night do the people yet languish, longing for morning the darkness to vanquish, plaintively sighing with hearts full of anguish. Will not day come soon? Will not day come soon? Must we be vainly awaiting the morrow, longing for morning, no light let us borrow, giving no heed to our burden of sorrow? Will you help us soon? Will you help us soon? Sorrowing wanders in darkness yet dwelling, dawned has the day of a radiance excelling. Death's deepest shadows forever dispelling, Christ is coming soon, Christ is coming soon. Light o'er the land of the needy is beaming, rivers of life through its deserts are streaming, bringing our peoples a Savior redeeming. Christ is coming soon, Christ is coming soon.